Good morning, everybody. We are in Parashat Bo. Bo, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Bo el Paro, ki ani ichbadeti et libo. Bo el Paro is come to Pharaoh. And this phrase is a little strange because if I send somebody to do something for me, I will tell him, go to, not come to. Come to is strange. Bo el Paro. Lech el Paro. So, here is a very important point, and it's not the first time, we have it a few times, Bo el Paro, and the reason is that God is really telling Moshe Rabbeinu, which is afraid. He's not afraid from the physical point of view, he's afraid from the spiritual point of view, because Pharaoh is the symbol of the, let's say, the highest impurity that there is in the world. There is nothing worse than Pharaoh in a spiritual point of view. And Moshe Rabbeinu is afraid to meet this guy and go to him and be maybe, chas v'sholom, influenced by his bad influence, by his bad behavior. And this guy also thinks he's everybody is God. Yes.
This is the Pharaoh that grew him up. Is the same one?
It's if we want to, let's say it could be it is, and it also could be no. Okay. It could be just the one that was raising with him, was growing with him,
okay,
which is more reasonable.
Okay.
But it doesn't matter. The shock of Pharaoh even maybe is worse when he is the guy who was growing with him in the palace, and suddenly he becomes Pharaoh, and this guy is really the savior of Israel. You can imagine to yourself his shock when he saw Moshe Rabbeinu coming to him the first time.
That's why I thought that this was the next Pharaoh.
Could be. I'm saying could be the one who was growing with him. Let's say if it can be the same Pharaoh that he was living for, let's say, many years. But it could also very reasonably be the son of Pharaoh. Okay. Now the son of Pharaoh is, let's say, is maybe in the same age of Moshe Rabbeinu, which means that they were growing up together in the palace of Pharaoh, maybe even playing together, being friends. And suddenly, this guy he was growing with is standing in front of him. He's the fight. He is the guy who is going to take Amisrael out of Egypt. You can imagine to yourself what's going inside him. And maybe this even made his, his heart even harder, because I want to go. I'm not going to let this guy who was growing with me to be the guy that is going to take Amisrael out. But now, we're talking from the spiritual point of view. So, God is telling Pharaoh and telling each one of us, you don't have to be afraid of anything. Say, Bo el Paro is like the small kid who doesn't want to go to school, and the parents don't know what to do with him. And then, in the morning, the father asks him, what's wrong? You know, till a few months ago, you were very happy to go to school. The point is, they changed place, they moved to a different new neighborhood and a new school, and the people, they don't know him, and they didn't behave nicely to him, and he was abused there by the teachers and by the children, and he didn't want to go. So what is the father telling him? Well, come, I'm going with you. And this is what God is telling us. It doesn't matter what is in front of us. What we are afraid of. If we have the feeling and understanding that who is with us? The Almighty. Bo, he says, come with me. I am going with you. And this is a very important point in life. Because a lot of times, sometimes we are in a bad situation and we lose it. But if you know and really believe it, that God is with you, things are much easier.
That's the hard part.
Mm-hmm. That's why we're sitting here and learning and trying to put it in ourselves, because we live in this world, which is a materialistic world, which everything around us looks so real, and it is convincing, and it's tempting, and it's very easy that the belief that we're talking here, that only 20% got out of Egypt. In other words, with all the miracles, 80% stay there, which is unbelievable. It's the same story today. Look in the States what's happening. And They were mingled. They were marrying the goyim. They were a part of the Egyptian society the same way as today. Nothing changed. But we are sitting here, we're trying to teach ourselves who is God, what is God, and that's the whole idea of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. And that's the whole idea of the Seder night. When we sit on Seder night, the whole idea is we are going to talk and talk and talk and tell the story of Yitzhak Mitzrayim in order for us to understand not Trump is controlling the world, not the Hezbollah, and not the PLO, and not Netanyahu. God is ruling the world, and God is in control, and God does everything. And God loves us. In other words, whatever it does, even if we don't see it now, it's for the good of us. So the minute we believe in this and realize how true it is, life are much easier. And this gets to another point. When we talk about Am Yisrael not willing to get out of Egypt, which is, in the beginning, it sounds very strange. How can it be? You know, to come to a slave and tell him, come on, I'm going to free you. What do you think the slave is going? No, I want to stay a slave. Normally, we would think, well, of course I'm coming. But here, Moshe Rabbeinu comes, I want to take you out, says, no, we don't want to go. Why? Because we have to understand, this is the third or the fourth generation to slavery. They don't know anything else. That's what they know. They grew in it. And why should they go with somebody? This is what we talked about a few times ago, the comfort zone. Nobody wants to leave the comfort zone. It's a problem. And it's happening every day. People can be stuck in a position and not changing it because they're used to it. So this is another lesson. Don't get used to things unless they are good. And if they're not good, change. Get out of your comfort zone. But it was very hard. And with all the miracles and everything happening around them, they still stayed in Egypt. But, and God gave them a chance, and another chance, and another chance. They saw all those miracles, all those plagues, till they got to the darkness. In the darkness, those who didn't want to go out of Egypt, from the Jews, died. They died. That's it. Finished. They got a chance and another chance. Now, if you think for a minute that those who got out of Egypt were all tzaddikim, you are mistaken. And by the way, it's written very clearly when we look in the psukim. Bet Mem Aleph. Vayimi ketz loshim shana ve'arba mot shana. 430 years. By the way, the 430 years are being counted like 30 years is from Brit Ben Abetarim that God did with Avraham Avinu and reveals himself to him. And the 400 are for the day that Yitzchak was born. And in Egypt itself there were 210 years, something like this. Vayim be'etzem hayom hazeh, in this day, yatzu kol tzivot Hashem, all the armies of God out of Egypt. What is written here? The army of God get out of Egypt. No. All of them. Kol tzivot Hashem. What is the meaning kol? Everybody. The point is that the same way as in the army, you have special units and you have service and you have those who really would prefer to be at home but they go to the army. All of those are a part of the army. And here was the same thing. You needed only to want to get out of Egypt. Even if you were still an idol worshiper, but you wanted to go out of Egypt, you were counted and you were taken out of Egypt. Look how easy it was. In other words, God didn't ask you, be a tzaddik, and if not, I'm not going to take you out. God asked only one thing, do the first step. You will. You want to go out of the place you are, or you don't want. And when you do the first step, then I am with you. And we see it when they go in Shirat Hayam next week, or 2 weeks, or I think next week. The angels tell God, why do you save them? Those are idol worshippers, and those are idol worship. In other words, in the people that going out and living the miracle of the parting of the sea, there are still idol worshippers. Unbelievable. And we all know the statue of Micha. It's a very famous story with the Micha and his statue, his idol. He went with it in the sea.
What's that?
And he had an idol with him, a statue, an idol, and he took it with him from Egypt. Unbelievable. But again, God is merciful. God wants his children to go back, to come back to him. And for this he tells you, Bo el Paro, I am with you. You're not alone. I am going with you wherever you go. The only thing I want you is have the will to start a new way. That's all.
That we say in the Shmona Esra, Baruch Ata Hashem, HaRotze B'Tshuva.
No, he wants us to do tshuva, of course. He's a father. What does the father want from his children? He wants them back to, with him. What does the mother want with her children? She wants them back with him. That's it. God is our father and mother. And he wants us. He loves us. And the point is that at the end of the day, we will have to come in front of God and show him what we did. And this reminds me of a story. We are in the Holocaust week. We're talking about the Holocaust the whole week. Terrible things we're hearing. And really, it wasn't an easy situation. And though all those leaders are speaking very nicely, but we all know that underneath, half of the talks that they talk are not really, they don't mean it. But okay, let's give them the benefit of doubt, okay? That they really want to do good, Be'ezrat Hashem. And one of a very interesting story I heard, I read about the Rav, where is the Rav? The Rav Mordechai Pogromsky, Zatzal. And the story is that after the Holocaust, a lot of people lost their wives, their husbands, their family, and they wanted to build new homes, new family. So there was a lot of marriage going on, between even sometimes could be couples that just met yesterday, but they wanted to build a new home. And you understand it, young people. And those marriages, weddings, were not exactly very happy, because each one of the sides had carried a tremendous, unbelievable
guilt.
Not only guilt, it was sorrow. What they went through. So in one of those weddings, the friends wanted to make it happy. So what they did, in the middle of the wedding, they brought a huge box wrapped with a gift. A big gift. And everybody was looking at it. Wow, gee, what a gift. And then they unwrapped the gift, and there was a big box there. They opened the box, and in the box was another box, a smaller box, also wrapped as a gift. And then they opened this, and we can talk about it for an hour. At the end of the day, after opening all those boxes, there was a small box like this with a small gift in it. But everybody was laughing, enjoying himself. And this Rav got up and said, you see, you should learn from this how to build a Jewish home. Jewish home is not about the outside, how it looks from the outside. It's how it looks from the inside. And also when we come to God at the end of days, after we did our mission in this world, we sometimes think we have this big box. But when we get there in front of God, we will start open and we realize that there is another small box and another small, that the real thing that we did. In other words, when you do a mitzvah, how do you do the mitzvah? You think I did a mitzvah, but did you do it for yourself? Or did you do it for God and for the others? And it's a big difference. Is your mitzvah empty? You did it just in order to say, I did it? So, it's an empty thing. And you have to understand that it's like to say, Tfilah bli kavana ikmo guf bli neshama. Praying to God without intention, it's like a body without a soul. So, okay, you davened. You prayed. So what? You have to talk with God from your heart. So in other words, when we do good things, don't miss the point. Don't be an empty box. Like this box. It's an unbelievable explanation and like about this and an unbelievable idea of an empty box. And in marriage and in life also, it's the same thing. People look at the outside. How does my house look from the outside? What is inside? Nothing. It's like this high-tech companies. You know, once I was driving on Bahrain, I saw this huge building with all the glass windows, and you see the people there. Everything is the best of the best. You see the gym, and you see the dining room. People are sitting. They are in the middle of a day of work, eating and doing exercises in the gym. And you think, whoa, what a life. Unbelievable. And you know, this guy who works there, he thinks, wow.
And you have to come and give us the shoe. Well,
yes, then. You see. And this guy thinks, this is not going to end. But one day, he gets a letter, the project is finished, you are fired. And that's the way it works in the high-tech field. You have a project, you work on it, you get all the best things of the world. You can eat all day, you can have a gym and you have a swimming pool, you have everything. But when the project is when the project ends, what have you got?
Empty.
The guards come and they show you out with your small box, with your small personal things. And that's exactly the same thing. When we come in front of God, what box have we got? And this is the big lesson. This is what we have to try and learn. To fill this life with mitzvahs and not stem from the outside. Not just that it will look that we are good people from the outside. Like, unfortunately, all those leaders of the world speaking so nicely. What do they really mean? That's the question. And this question is to us. This is Pharaoh. This is our fight with Pharaoh. Pharaoh is inside of us. And he tries to convince us, enjoy life. Baruch Hashem, we have an unbelievable privilege. We are here in Eretz Yisrael. You have to understand, this is such a great privilege that people don't realize. No, they say that Eretz Yisrael is the body and the Torah is the soul. And to take them together, you need us. In other words, we are here. When we do a mitzvah here, it's not double. It's so much more than doing it in Chutz La'aretz. So much more. So we have to take it with our two hands. That's Geulat Mitzrayim. That's Yitziat Mitzrayim. Get out of Egypt. Get out of the impurity. Get out of this tempting world. And do the good things. Talking about the house, we see an unbelievable thing here. Minutes before they're going out of Egypt, suddenly they are being ordered to do what? Korban Pesach. After all the things they're going through, God says, 1 minute, now you're being a sacrifice. Then you go out. What is the meaning of this thing in the last minute? It's unbelievable. Look what's written here. דברו אל כל הדת בני ישראל לאמור, בעשור לחודש הזה יקחו לכם איש שא לבית אבות שא לבית. Now, this is a word that's going again and again and again here. And listen, בית אבות בית. What is the בית? Home. Yes, בית, house. ואם ממת הבית, and if the house is too small to have by itself a lamb, and you need somebody else, so you take others. ולקח הוא ושכנו הקרוב אליו, you take your neighbor that is close to your house, and he will be with you together, a partner, to eat the Korban Pesach. And then we're going on. And what you have to do, v'lakhu min adam, after you slaughter this lamb, you take from the blood and put it on the door. V'achlu to basar b'al tzinor, v'lo totiru min haboker, v'kacha tochlu oto. And then v'haya a blood. I'm not reading the whole thing because we haven't got the time. V'haya adam lachem le'ot al abim, and the blood is going to be a sign on your houses. If you see house, again and again and again. Now, then he's telling us, and you will remember that God saved your houses. What do you mean? They left Egypt. Who cares that God saved the houses?
The people of the house.
The Beit HaYehudi, the meaning of the house. The inside of the house. Not the block, not the bricks, not the wood, but the Beit HaYehudi, the home, not the Beit. The home, and that's what's written here. Everything here is the home, it's not a Beit. Because look at it, it says, if you haven't got enough people to eat the whole sacrifice, you go to your neighbor near your house. I'm going to ask you, where supposedly is going my neighbor is going to live? Where? Far from my house?
No.
Near my house. So why is the Torah telling us near the house?
Near your family.
Near to your heart. Near to your home. He can be near you, but he's far away from the meaning of the Jewish home. And it can be quite far away, but close to you. So the meaning here is not physical distance.
It's
a spiritual distance. And this goes on and on and on because God wants to tell us, before you go out of Egypt, you have to understand that one of the most important things is the Jewish home. Only a Jewish home can keep the tradition going on. And if you haven't got the tradition going on, you wouldn't have nobody to tell him that God took us out of Egypt. So before you go out of Egypt, I want you to understand the meaning. And when they put the blood, which is also an unbelievable thing, Yisrael, v'ayah adam lachem, and the blood will be a sign for you on your houses, on your homes. Where was the blood? We talked about it a few times. Where was the blood? Outside or inside?
Outside.
Why? Because God has to see it. No. God needs to see the blood.
No.
So I want to tell you what Rashi says. The blood was inside, not outside. V'ayah lachem le'ot. It will be a sign for you. Where are we? Inside the house. How can it be a sign to us? Only if it is inside. So why do we need the blood inside and not outside?
Remember.
God knows exactly who lives in this house. He wants to see if your inside is a Jewish inside or a Goyish inside. If you are idol worshipper or a God worshipper. And how does he see it? If you put the blood inside your house. Outside doesn't mean a lot. So in other words, everything we see here leads us to a very important point. That what is something that looks from the outside unbelievable. You have to understand, you know, the people today also, and then in Egypt, it was very tempting. You know, they were living in an environment in Egypt. Egypt was the, let's say, America of those times. It was everything you had there. All the opportunities of the world. Everything. It was the richest country. The most cultured country. And by the way, it's unbelievable how things are going again and again the same. Also Germany, the Nazis Germany. They were the, let's say, the highlight of the Western culture. Scholars. Scientists. Doctors. Polite, very polite. They were very polite. They say, you know, they built the rails for the train from Nahariya to the inn. And Nahariya, they said there were a lot of Yekis, a lot of German Jews living. So they said they heard the train coming before it came. Because they were saying, Dankeschön, bitteschön, Dankeschön, bitteschön, Dankeschön, bitteschön, Dankeschön, bitteschön. Everyone was like, Dankeschön, bitteschön, Dankeschön, bitteschön, Dankeschön, bitteschön, Dankeschön, bitteschön. The train was already moving, even when it didn't yet built. So this is one of the jokes they say. So all those outside things, they mean nothing. If there is nothing in. And that's a big lesson, especially now when we remember the Holocaust. We have to make sure that everybody remembers it, to understand who are we. We are here for eternity. God promised, and we see it. Whatever they were trying to do to us, they will never succeed. Because God is with us. Boel Paro, God is telling us, I'm with you, wherever you are. You know, this is this story about this guy dreaming a dream. And in his dream, he is walking on a beach. And he sees his footsteps on the beach. And near him, there are
other
footsteps. And suddenly, it's getting very hard to walk. And he sees that the other footsteps disappeared. And he's telling God, God, what? When I'm in problem, you leave me? He says, you are so stupid. In those hard times, I was carrying you. So the footsteps you see are not yours, they are mine. And that's the real truth. And this is something we have to put in our mind. 10 plagues to show us why. Show us that God created the world. God could have taken us out of Egypt in one go. Didn't need all those things. But what we have to do here, we should be people with... When we say, Boel Paro, it's not easy. It's not easy. We have a lot of difficulties in life, a lot of problems. And the main job of us is to work on our midot, on our behavior. And I must tell you, you know, last week when I've been in Germany, I came to shul in the morning, and I was sitting in a place that normally I sit there. But this old guy came to me and very aggressively said, move, like it's his seat. Okay, I didn't know. No, I'm not coming there every day. I'm coming there once a year or twice a year. Maybe he took the place and he's sitting there. Okay, so I moved. And it really aggravated me the way he did it. When I came back to Israel, we learn every morning the Daf HaYomi. And I have a place which I'm sitting there, I think, already 14 years, the same place. And when I come back, who is sitting on my place?
Same name.
A stranger. Somebody else. And it really made me feel I couldn't learn properly because, you know, I was used to this place. And, you know, when you think about it, you don't realize it till you are going through it. When Chazal are telling us, don't judge nobody till you get to his place, yeah, that's what they mean. Sometimes we judge people and we look at things and situations. So God told me, you were aggravated about this guy taking the place, which is his place. Yeah. I want to show you. What's the feeling if somebody takes your place? Yeah. And he showed me a best example there can be. Because, you know, it's not that I was sitting there 1 year or 2 years. For around 14 years, this is the third round of the Daf HaYomi that I'm starting. I was sitting in the same place. And the feeling was that then I understood how much we have to go into the... And what is Vahavta Lerecha Kamocha? You have to think the way you would think if somebody is doing it to you. The next day, I'm going on the road, and you know, I was in a funeral in Holon, and rush hour, oh, this is unbelievable, going back from there, and people come from here, and from there, and from there, and this guy wants to come, and the first thing I said, I'm going to show him. And I said, let him go. So I'm letting him go, and then something interesting happened. Another car wanted to go in before him, and he let the car go in. And I said, look what's happening. If you behave, if you give a good example, the influence is not only on yourself, it's only on the other. So if we behave good, we will make also others to be good. And this is...
Sometimes.
You know, you cannot win all. You can win some, but at least some, you win. And this is the way to go. This is the fight that we have with our Pharaoh all the time. Pharaoh, the whole idea is Pharaoh, me, me, me. What did Pharaoh say? I am God. I created the river. I created the Yaor. I did. I. Everything is I. When you look in the... Orach Chaim gives a beautiful explanation that when we look at the plagues, we see that when Pharaoh is asking Moshe Rabbeinu to remove the plague, it's only when it's touching him. When it's touching his people and not him, he doesn't care. This is Pharaoh, and this is Pharaoh inside of us. So we should fight it. And understand that we're not alone in this fight. God is with us. In Bezrat Hashem, we will also get the redemption, the salvation, the Geula Shlema, b'mehra b'yameinu. Amen.
Amen.